There's a verse that says, "All ye that hath breath, praise ye the Lord." I think the last five Psalms, 145 on through the end, I think they all have to do, they all start with praise the Lord, they all end with praise the Lord. But they're good Psalms to read. Amen? If you have a Bible, turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is a great text. What we're going to read is something that Jesus quoted when somebody asked him, what is the first and greatest commandment? Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. And then love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6. So we will begin reading here. It is Father's Day, and it's a blessing to honor our fathers. Amen. Some fathers cannot be honored. There are circumstances because of that, but we all honor our fathers today, and certainly our Heavenly Father. Amen. When father and mother forsake you, the Lord will take you up, and he is a father to us. But let's begin, let's begin chapter 6, Deuteronomy, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That just about covers 24-hour day. Amen? While you're walking, you're rising up, you're going here, you're doing that. But the interesting thing about that text, love the Lord with all thine heart, and these words shall be in thine heart. And really, effective teaching is something that we believe, something that we experience. Amen? And when our hearts love God, it's easy to talk about the love of God. And the text talks about using the words. So we have the Bible, amen, and they're just wonderful words of praise to our Savior, and we love him. Amen. We love our Heavenly Father, and we trust that today his word will have an effect. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we want to love you with all our heart, all our strength, and Lord, our flesh is incapable of that. We ask you to help us today. Our spirit indeed is willing, but our flesh is weak, and you are so worthy of our praise today and our thanksgiving. And Lord, bless this day. This day speaks of you. It speaks of the family. And we trust that you would be honored and glorified by all that's said and done today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a great text. In our devotional today that's on our website, I spoke of the great need for godly men. And there, I won't repeat that message, but it's important to have that. In 2 Samuel chapter 10, Joab and Abishai were fighting an enemy of Israel, getting ready to. And this is what they said. Be of good courage, in verse 12, and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. They wanted to have victory over the enemy to protect their families, to protect that posterity and all of their children. They did say one to another, if the enemy's too strong for me, come and help me, and if the enemy's too strong for you, I will come and help you. But let us play the men for our cities and for our families. I think that's an important thing. I remember when I was in the eighth grade, 21 years ago, about, maybe a little over that, but we learned a song in Glee Club, and had no idea the meaning of it back in the eighth grade, but it was, give me some men who are stout-hearted men who will fight for the right they adore. Start me with 10 who are stout-hearted men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more. Shoulder to shoulder and bolder they grow as they go to the fore. Then there's nothing in the world can halt or mar a plan when stout-hearted men can stick together man to man. There's a cause, and they're fighting an enemy, and we have a common cause, and iron sharpens iron, amen? And so godly men are important, and certainly in the family. We read about King Saul back in the Old Testament when he was just becoming king. And 1 Samuel 10:26 says, "And there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched." What a wonderful statement. Amen? A band of men whose hearts God had touched. That's what we're talking about in our text in Deuteronomy. Judas, on the other hand, John 18:3, Judas then, having received a band of men, and those were enemies to the cause of Christ. And so there are two crowds out there, and we'll see the significance of that in a little bit. In Acts chapter 12, Peter is taken prisoner because of his preaching, and he's thrown into prison, and there were given four quaternions of Roman soldiers. Four times four. Quaternion is four, and there were four. That's 16 Roman soldiers. Those Roman soldiers were the best fighting men in the world. And what they would do, 16 men, they could defend anything from the enemy. They'd put four on each side. I think that's where the statement came from, "I've got your back." And so they always protected the back of the other fighting men. And they were tremendous soldiers, and it's a lot easier to fight the enemy when we have one another's help. Amen. Paul, when he was imprisoned, was looking at a Roman soldier in Ephesians chapter 6, and he was describing the armor that the soldier had and applying it spiritually. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and he was going down through all of those. And so spiritually, we could be the best fighters of evil in the world because we could have God on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? Anyway, the idea here is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, to have his wisdom for our families. Amen? That's an important thing for a father to have. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 2, God told Moses to send thou men to spy out the land. And so they picked 12 men. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said we can do it, but it was a shame that 10 of them didn't. And so they wandered in the wilderness. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 4, then Joshua called 12 men. There's the number 12 again. And remember, they came up to the Jordan River. The priests went in to stop the water. But Joshua said, "I need 12 men to go in and pick up stones. And we're going to make a pillar to remember what God did this day. And when our children," it says this in the text, "when our children say, 'What mean ye by these stones?' then you can tell them about the miracle." So that heritage just keeps getting passed down. Amen? And that's a blessing when we talk about our miracles. David's mighty men, 2 Samuel chapter 23. We won't take time to read it. Amen? Because you're going to grill something somewhere and that's all you're thinking about. But anyway, it's something to read about. You have Gideon's mighty men in Judges chapter 7. These are all stories in the Bible. Remember, his 300 men, and they defeated the enemy with just 300. In chapter 6, God said to Gideon, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." This is so important. Amen? We don't even know who men are today. Amen? And you know the implication there. But we need men, godly men, that will stand for the Lord. In Beat's New Testament commentary, he said, "It is true that amid the general apostasy, God has reserved for himself a small band of men whose faithfulness is made the more conspicuous by the faithlessness around them." And so we live in an age where your light shines bright because this is a dark time. Amen? Statements that are made, and if you got a card for your father, or you're thinking about it, or you got a card from somebody, these are the statements. "You're such a funny guy, Dad, and you've always taken care of me, and you're a great softball player." I mean, there's all kinds of cards out there, and what children praise their fathers for, and rightly so. Those are fine things. But what about a godly father? That is, I think, the highest praise that you can give your father. Today I want to speak about the importance of a father, a godly father. And that's what our text is about, and that's what God wants us to see today, so we'll talk about that. But again, let's pray. Father, again, we ask your blessing. We need your help, and I pray you'd open our hearts to your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a good place to start, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and there's a lot of truths there, and it talks about teaching our children. Train up a child in the way he should go. So these things are important. We want our children to see God, to hear of his miracles, to see how he's been with us all the way. Amen. All the way my Savior leads me. That's our song. And so we sing that, and we can say, what mean these stones? Let me tell you about this. And that means a lot to our children. In Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Nurture them, admonish them in kindness, in love, in teaching. I think all of those things are just so vital for children. There are a number of books out that deal with the real purpose, the need of a child to have a good father. Father Hunger is one of those books. It's a good book to read. The importance of Father's Day, but we'll have some things to say about this, but the importance of our Heavenly Father's Day. I think that's where I'm going to go today. We have a Heavenly Father. I won't comment on my father or my stepfather. I've done that before. But I am really happy to have a Heavenly Father. He's certainly been there for me. In John chapter 6 and verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. We talk about teaching our children, teaching others, if our heart is right. We have the heart of love for our God. It's easy to teach that. But our Father, the Bible says God is love, and he teaches us. And we'll see some other verses about that. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come now. Amen. It's a good invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I mean, there's a number of verses like this. All that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And our text here says, hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. So if we learn something that's real to us, it produces something in our life. We come to that altogether lovely one. Amen? Who never rejects, who never turns us away, who's always there to guide us and help us and nurture us. I mean, it's a blessing, and he's given us his word too. In 1 Thessalonians 4:9, as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. How does he do that? The Spirit will guide us into all truth in the book of John. And what is truth? Thy word is truth. So he takes a spiritual book, he makes a spiritual application, and he teaches us how to love one another, love your neighbors yourself, and how to love God. Love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and all your strength. Amen? It's all about loving God. And Father's Day, love your father. Mother's Day, love your mother. Whale Day, love the whale. You know, but there's a lot to love in this world. God teaches us how to be saved, and then he teaches us the benefits of salvation, amen, and how to live that life of abundancy. So we have eternal life and abundant life, and it's all taught of God. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. What a teacher. What a textbook. I mentioned the verse, when your father and your mother forsake you, the Lord will take you up. You're not the loser, amen. Sometimes you get more of God that way. But God will never leave us nor forsake us. You have Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? There's eternal life. There's abundant life. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. It goes on and it says that we should be called the sons of God. This is so amazing. Amen. We didn't pick our fathers, but we can pick our Heavenly Father. We'll see that. 1 John 3:2, beloved, Now are we the sons of God, and it did not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That's a promise to us. Matthew 6, 9, we pray this. Our Father which art in heaven. Gino, our Father. Richard, our Father, all of you. If you're a believer in Christ, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have the same Father. Amen? Our Father who art in heaven. It's the same family. And so we are partakers of that nature. And what is that nature? Love. God is love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. So we have that. And it's wonderful. Sometimes, you ever get together with family? Probably not. But you probably read about this. You probably read about this. When you got together with family, it just didn't go so well. You know, a little tension maybe. Probably not. Probably you've never experienced that. But what about believers? Amen? We have the same Father. We have the same nature. And I don't know. I just threw that in there for free. That doesn't even cost extra. Amen? But here's something that we need to think about. And I'm a believer. You're a believer in Christ. I trust that everybody here is a Christian. But there's a lot of people that aren't Christians. And listen how God describes them in the Bible. Acts 13:10. Paul is trying to win somebody, and there's a sorcerer there that's opposing that. And Paul says to this sorcerer, Elymas, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. That's what Paul, under the inspiration of God, called this man. Thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord? He called him an enemy. He called him a child of the devil. You have Matthew 13:38 in a parable. Jesus is speaking. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. They look like the wheat, but they're not. They're weeds. They're children of the wicked one. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible talks about Satan being as an angel of light, and even his ministers are like that. Here's one more. John 8:44. Jesus is speaking to religious people here, and he said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And one last verse, Jesus is preaching in Matthew 23, and he says, ye serpents, ye vipers. And he's talking again to religious people. So you see this, we're either children of God or we're children of the devil. Amen? There are two families here. And so that's the purpose of being born again. And we'll see that in a minute. Not extensively, but we'll touch on that. There's a lot of advantages to having God as your father. And if we had a testimony meeting right now, I'd be done preaching. And we'd spend the rest of our time praising God for how good he's been to us. Amen? If we would say, talk about your father today. And if you had a good godly father and a father you loved, then you would be able to say things. Amen? Well, he was kind to me. He was there. He was this. He was that. We have a heavenly father. What would we say about him? What could we talk about? All the blessings of our heavenly father. I know it's another realm. It's not the physical realm, but there's a spiritual realm, and it's so much better than the material realm. Matthew 6:32, your heavenly father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows your needs today. Amen? Sometimes we can miss what our children need, what our wives need, what our parents need. God never misses that. He knows already. Luke 11:13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Ephesians 1:3, blessed be God and Father of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Spiritual blessings. That's a blessing. Amen? Because sometimes it can get pretty rough in this world, but we can concentrate on those spiritual blessings. What's the nature of our Heavenly Father? Grace, peace, love, that is His nature. Amen? And we are partakers of that nature. So God gives that to us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We love Him because He first loved us. John 8:42, Jesus saith unto them, if God were your Father, He would love me. There's absolutely no way in the world to make somebody love somebody else. Amen? And when you deal with lost people, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So unto you which believe, He is precious. That's all God. Amen? That's all God. It's not, I got to try. You can't try to love. That's a gift that God gives. The filling of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And so we have that love. We love Him because He first loved us. God's love precedes His forgiveness. And I am happy about this. God wants to forgive you. God wants to forgive me. That's a blessing. He delighteth in mercy. There's a verse that says, it is a glory to pass over a transgression. The Bible says in Corinthians that even Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And it goes back to Egypt in Exodus 12, where the Passover was. And how kind our Savior is. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's love precedes God's help. He wants to help you. I think I read this story before, but back in 1992, I think it was, at the Olympics, I think it was in Spain, there was a fellow by the name of Derek Redmond, and he was running a race, and he pulled a muscle or something like that, tore something in his leg, and he fell down on the track. It was the last lap. And out of the stands, his father ran down, went past security. You've heard that story? And he went to his son and picked him up or helped him up, and they hobbled across the finish line. That father loved his son so much, he wanted to see him finish the race. And I got thinking about that. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a promise. How about this one? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise. How's this one? Fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's a blessing. Amen. God is there for us. Our Heavenly Father is always there. He knows our needs because He loves us. He's interested. He meets our needs. He helps us. I mean, there's no end to it. In Luke chapter 15, we have the story of the prodigal son. And the son went away and wasted his inheritance, drug his father's name through the mud, but his father always was watching for him to come. And when he came, they had a big party. Amen? They killed the fatted chicken. And they killed the fatted calf. I mean, that was a big... Just wanted to see if you were still with me. Amen? Amen. Come back. Okay. But, I mean, what a picture of God the Father. What a picture. Where that son came back, and just because he was coming back, just because he wanted forgiveness, that's all it was. He didn't pay anything. He was broke. He came back with nothing but a ruined reputation. Amen? And probably the stench of the hog pen still on him. And there he is, and his father runs out to meet him and gives him the best robe. And you know the story. That's a picture of our God. Well, I don't know if God would ever forgive me. Yes, He would. Amen? All we have to do is, Father, forgive me. And He will forgive us. He's that kind of a Father. In Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. Who does God choose to be His children? Whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You remember, and I remember this because my great-grandfather told me about these. But remember when you were in grade school and they would have that hearing test? And it wasn't with the machine or anything, but the teacher would be a little ways away from you and say something like, "What's the weather like today?" And if you knew, if you could hear, then you would answer the question, you know. Did anybody remember that? It was called a hearing test, and they would do it all the time. But anyway, this one little girl, this is a true story. Her name was Mary Ann Bird, and she had a cleft palate, and all the kids would make fun of her all the time. And she was so self-conscious of that, she made up a story that she had an accident, and that's what caused that, rather than something natural. And she said she was kind of towards the end of the crew there, and the teacher got her up there and a little ways away, and the teacher said to her, "I wish you were my little girl." What a thing to say. Amen? And that so touched her heart. She wrote a book about it. It's in its book. She was so moved by that compassion. And you know, that's what God says to all of us. "I wish you were my child." We are his children. Amen? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's such a blessing to know that. He's such a loving God, such a loving Father. There are two ways, I believe, the Bible mainly describes how we become a child of God. And you become a Christian, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? You can know you're saved. You can know your sins are forgiven by asking Jesus Christ to be your Savior, by confessing that you're a sinner. Amen? And by realizing that Christ is the Savior, and you go to him and you ask him to be your Savior. That is salvation. In the Bible, in John chapter 3, it's talked about as being born again. And then in 1 Peter, it talks about being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In other words, that old nature, we get a new nature. We are partakers of the divine nature. We are now the sons of God. Amen? But there's another way the Bible describes that, and that is adoption. I looked that up in the dictionary, and it said the taking or treating of a stranger as one's own child. Isn't that a blessing? And it says in Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We're all born into the family of God, and we're all adopted into the family of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:5, the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Romans 8:15, ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm going to close with just reading a little story here. This is in the book of Ezekiel. You don't have to turn there, but it's chapter 16, and it's talking about how God adopted the nation of Israel, how he came and he became their Savior, and that great, great history of the nation of Israel. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, thy mother was a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee. Here's a baby that was born, cast out into the field. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. God is speaking here. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. That's what God said. It goes on in verse 8, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Isn't that precious? God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he saw us forsaken, sinful, in our sin, in our filth of sin. And when he passed by, he said, live. Amen. And we became his. That is such a blessing today. God knows all my needs. God knows all my shortcomings, my failures, my sins. He knows my regrets, my fears. He knows yours. Amen. He's a good father. He'll speak to us about all of that. He gives great instruction. Amen. He teaches us how to love him. He teaches us how to love each other. And he teaches us how to be strong and have wisdom, just like a father ought. Amen. Happy Father's Day. To some people, it's not a happy day. It's true. But happy Heavenly Father's Day, because he'll go with us today. Amen. And he'll speak to us today. And he'll be with us in our deepest trial and our deepest need. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your word today. I pray, God, that we would so lean on you. We would so trust in you. We would so run to you and never be afraid. Lord, you'll always meet our need and help us. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we always pray, if you're not somebody's father today, that all they have to do is receive you and they'll become your child. Bless now, bless your word, and bless our day. May we give you glory and praise throughout the day. In Jesus' name.